And the court will proceed to the fifth case, the United States versus Garcia-Ugarte. Mr. O'Malley.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Eugene O'Malley. I'm the attorney for Mr. Garcia-Ugarte, and if I may just refer to him as Mr. Garcia, I'll do that. The major issue in this case is, Your Honor, is the lost opportunity for a concurrent sentence. And to argue that point, I have to indicate that Mr. Garcia had a state case in Winnebago County, and he was arrested in that case in October of 2008. He was convicted about a year later in that case. And then an immigration detainer was lodged. However, in Winnebago County, the state court was aware that there was what's called an ICE hold, an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold. So the federal authorities were aware, basically from the time he was arrested in October 2008, that he was in custody, and there was a question of whether here he was in this country legally. Of course, he was not. He's a Mexican national, and thus he was here illegally. Now, in short, he didn't get to the federal courts until roughly 2 years, just short of 2 years after his arrest in the state court. And so the argument before the district court in terms of sentencing is, I asked the court to consider the sentencing guideline 5G1.3, and that's in the chapter in determining the sentence, where the court either gives a concurrent. Now, mind you, he's been convicted in state court. He's served roughly a couple years in the state court, and now he's being prosecuted federally. And we're asking basically for some consideration for the time he served in state custody. And the 5G allows for that in the policy statement. That's what applies here in illegal reentry cases. The policy statement indicates that the court has the discretion to give concurrent sentences or partially concurrent sentences. Now, the district court in this case decided that because it believed the illegal reentry was a separate offense from the state state prosecutor case, that they're disparate cases, and the judge at the district court said concurrent sentences for these two disparate offenses would result in a free pass for the federal offense. So in no way would I reach the conclusion that justice requires or even permits concurrent sentences in this case. Well, the sentencing court did not consider appropriately the law here. The appropriate federal statutes indicate that, and I'll tell you which statutes I'm talking about, Your Honors, and that those are multiple sentence, the section 3584 of Title 18, multiple sentences of imprisonment. And the reading there indicates that the court is required to consider the 3553 factors. The sentencing court here simply made a conclusion. These are separate charges. He's got to serve time separately from the state case as opposed to the federal case. Well, what the judge had to do, in our estimation, should have done, is there should have been a 3553 analysis rather than just come to the conclusion that these are disparate offenses. (Clears throat) We believe that the sentencing court did not make the proper analysis as to the lost opportunity argument. The judge ultimately gave Mr. Garcia about a five-year sentence, I think 57 months, just short of 5 years. The argument we made at the district court was, well, judge ought to give him some kind of consideration for the 2 years he was waiting in the state prison or the county jail and the state prison. Give him some consideration, judge, there, because the federal authorities delayed here. Now, this is particularly troublesome that the federal authorities, not just in this case, but generally, often, wait until a defendant has concluded his time in state court, although they know in state custody, and then just as he's about to be released, they show up and say, all right, now we're going to prosecute you federally. So that's what I consider the unfairness that is the major issue in this case. Now, the other two issues in this case, Your Honors, were the fact that the court's aware that there's fast-track programs in certain districts. There's none in this district. But Mr. Garcia was quite agreeable to – he didn't file any pretrial motions. He was willing to waive appeal.
Counsel, yeah. That issue has been raised many times and said it, and this court has not accepted.
Well, I thought I'd still give it another try.
Give it a shot. Everybody ought to be able to rise to the
night. Because I think the sentencing judge here made his ruling about many districts have high-volume immigration cases, and this district does not. But the court's probably aware that there are many districts that have low-volume immigration cases where there is fast-track programs.
No question.
And the defense bar feels that this is this disparity.
I bet you the defendants feel the same way, not just the lawyers.
Right, Judge. And that's who we represent. And
but he wouldn't have qualified, Mr. O'Malley, even if we had fast-tracked in this district.
Well, that's what the government says, Judge. But I think he met the basic requirements. I don't think simply because there was a violent...
It took a while to plead, didn't he?
Pardon me?
It took a while to plead, didn't he? He didn't...
Well, that's an interesting point, because he was prepared to plead within a brief period of time, month or 2 months after he was charged. But there was a change in the federal guidelines where would benefit him if he had waited a few more months. But he did plead within 6 months, Judge. He didn't file any motions. He was willing to waive appeal. So 6 months is not an inordinate amount of time. And frankly, we just waited from the 2 month period to the 6 month period to gain this one advantage in the change in the sentencing guidelines. Sure, my time. One last issue, Judge, and if I may bring this up, the 16-level enhancement. He was assessed a 16-level enhancement because of a marijuana conviction. Now, This is a drastic enhancement in the sentencing guidelines. You'll find very few instances where the guidelines call for such a draconian jump in punishment. He was sentenced on that marijuana conviction to a 7-year state sentence, and
it must have been a lot of marijuana.
There was a considerable amount of marijuana, Your Honor, but I think we've got to differentiate that marijuana case did trigger the 16-level enhancement, but it's arguable that that's not a violent crime, as opposed to particularly violent crimes which the 16-level enhancement was really geared towards.
Well, that's debatable, but the 16-level enhancement unquestionably applied because he had a qualifying conviction. So there really isn't an argument not to apply it.
Well,
you can argue that a below-guideline sentence is justified because that overvalues the crime, but the enhancement itself was properly applied.
Yeah, the defense's position here, Judge, is the Sentencing Commission really didn't delve into much empirical data before they decided to promulgate this or recommend a 16-level enhancement. I suppose the court's aware that it's eye-popping. You won't find this in the guidelines, this kind of enhancement. And so the defense takes issue with the appropriateness of what we consider to be an arbitrary, drastic enhancement. I see my time is just about up. It is up? Okay. But the lost opportunity was the main argument I want to present to the court.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Mr. Fitter?
May it please the court, Seth B. Fitter on behalf of the United States. The record in this case is complete and accurate. It's also thorough. In fact, all of the arguments that were raised this afternoon has already been addressed by the district court. And all those arguments were rejected by the district court. Regarding the credit that counsel has stated, the district court stated that it was not going to give a free pass to this defendant because his conviction in the state court for attempted aggravated kidnapping was completely different from the federal offense for illegal reentry. Now, he could have granted him a credit, but he wasn't required to do so. And that was addressed, in fact, at the sentencing hearing. In fact, under the sentencing guidelines, the district court had the discretion whether or not to grant that credit. And he ruled that he wasn't going to. And that's all that needed to be said on that issue. As well as the other issues regarding fast track were addressed and rejected, as well as the 16-level enhancement was addressed and rejected. Therefore, the government requests that this court affirm the decision of the district court based upon the reasons addressed in my brief.
Thanks, Peter. Sir Mal, you may have an additional minute if you government case.
This sentencing judge came to this conclusion of the disparate offenses, but that's not the analysis that the federal procedure calls for. The federal procedure calls for looking at the 3553 factors of what just punishment, the characteristics of the defendant, and deterrence and other factors. And
you don't think Judge Grady had a sense of the criminal history here? And
He was aware of the criminal history, and I think he...
You don't think he touched upon, Mr. O'Malley, most of the 3553 factors?
Well, it was just it seemed to be a bold conclusion. He even used the words, this case doesn't permit... if you look at the transcript, this case doesn't even permit a concurrent sentence. Well, the law does permit it, but he chose not to, to exercise that using that law.
No, I appreciate that use of the term permit. I just wonder if he meant that in the sense that he was totally precluded, or he just felt the facts wouldn't permit him to arrive at the conclusion that legally you suggest he could have. That's all.
Yeah, I think I looked at that. I'll just say, give me 30 seconds. He says justice does not permit concurrent sentence here. Well,
justice would speak then to maybe the interpretation I'm suggesting. He used the word justice as apart from the statute doesn't permit or the law doesn't. That justice is a pretty flexible term, as we both know.
All right, Judge. Thank you.
I'm not being critical of the argument, Mr. O'Malley. Thank you, Mr. O'Malley and Mr. Fitter. And Mr. O'Malley, thank you for taking this appointment. Case is taken under advisement.